Morning and welcome again to One Open Bible Podcast at the Forward and Hope's Daily Devotional. And we're continuing our reading through the prophecy of Hosea, and we're into chapter 4 now. And from this chapter, we begin the sermons of Hosea. We have had the three chapters that have set out a pictorial prophecy based upon the personal life of Hosea and his unfaithful, adulterous wife. This was a picture of the Lord himself and his relationship, his love for his people Israel. And yet they had turned from him in adulterous ways, unfaithful to God. They had gone after idols and they had become immoral. And now the Lord is going to, through Hosea, set out his case against them, and this will end, of course, in that judgment that will come. So let's read chapter 4 of Hosea. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, and killing and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be, like people, like priest. And I will punish them for their ways, and reward them their doings. For they shall eat, and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom, and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. And come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth-Aven, nor swear, the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of that chapter to our hearts. This is a chapter of judgment. It's a chapter where the case is being set for judgment. Almost a legal kind of case, as it were, is being made by the Lord through Hosea. And you will have noticed throughout this emphasis and the repetition of the idea of adultery and unfaithfulness, the harlot, the whore, whoredom. These are the words that characterize Israel in their relationship to God, to their Lord, to the one they had promised themselves to, away back in the days of Moses, when God gave them the law, the covenant. He made a covenant with them, and he gave them a law, 10 commandments. And he said, now, if you keep these commandments, I will bless you. But if you don't keep the commandments, I will curse you. And the people said, yes, all that you have said we will do. And the people agreed to that covenant. They came into that covenant relationship with their Lord, with their God. And yet, now it has come to the point where they have completely forgotten God. God is no longer in their knowledge, in their thinking. And that's the point, isn't it, in verse 1 here. There is now no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. And they have completely been taken over by their love of the idols in the land. And with that idol comes immorality. And you know, this is the thing, that ideas always have consequences. Ideas don't just sit there on their own. The things that we believe act themselves out in our lives. And we see it in our day, just as Hosea saw it in his day, that over the past decades, the people of our generation have turned away from the Lord. And now we are getting to a stage, even in our own country, in our own land, in our own day, where it could be said of the people, there is no knowledge of God in the land. What a sad state of affairs. No knowledge of God in the land. And people have gone after the ideologies of this age, whether that be atheism and evolution, or whether it be humanism or secularism, or whatever it is, all of these ideas that exclude the Lord God from their thinking, they will end in immorality. It will end in sin. It will end in judgment. And so this is the message that's coming to the people. And in verse 2, we see how the evidence is being set forth. There was the commandments, those 10 commandments given right at the beginning. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Says Hosea, you are characterized by swearing and lying. You shall not kill. Says Hosea, you are characterized by killing and by taking blood. And you know, as we said in the first three chapters, the beginning of Hosea took place in the days of Jeroboam the second. He was the last king in that line from Jehu. And following his death in 745 BC, there followed in very quick succession king after king after king who grabbed the throne through rebellion, some kind of overthrow of the government, and through the shedding of blood. There was bloodshed after bloodshed after bloodshed, king after king after king, very quickly from 745 all the way down to 722 BC. And this was the state of the land. The law said specifically, thou shalt not commit adultery. And here is Hosea saying, you are committing adultery. There is sexual immorality that is rife amongst you. And so we come to verse 3, and the Lord gives a little foretaste of the judgment that's to come. There would be drought, there would be famine, there would be drought, and even the animals and the birds would not have enough to eat, and the fish of the sea also shall be taken away, and there would just be this barrenness that would come into the land. This was just a foretaste of the judgment that was about to fall. It was a warning to the people. It was a result of the people's sin. And then it tells us in verse 6 that it's not just the people. And here Hosea turns his attention away from the people in general, and he turns his attention to the priests, to those that ought to have known better, to those who stood and called themselves the priests of the Lord. They set themselves up as the spiritual guides of the people. And yet, what do we find? We find they were just as bad as the people themselves. They were not leading the people into knowledge. And this is one of the themes, isn't it, throughout this chapter. We read it in verse 1 already. There was no knowledge of God in the land. Here we see it in verse 6. The Lord says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." And then it goes on down the chapter. And at verse 14, at the end of verse 14, we read there that the people does not understand. The people that do not understand shall fall. We need to understand the things of God. I heard someone say that God is as real as death. You know, we can ignore it. We can think it's never going to happen, and yet it's going to come to us. And God is as real as that. Men and women can ignore God. They can push him out of their thinking. But at some point in time, they are going to come face to face with God. And they're going to have to deal with God. And so we need to understand these things. We need to have knowledge. And what is a sad state of affairs. How shameful that the priests who ought to have been leading the people. Look at verse 12. "My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them." Here are the people. They come seeking guidance. They come seeking some understanding of how they are to live to these priests. And yet what do the priests do? They just lead them further away from the Lord. They lead them further into idolatry. See, these were not priests of the Lord, really. These were not even Levites, generally. They were those who had been set into a position by the ruling government, the king. They were there to tickle the ears of the king. They were there to say what was right, what society wanted to hear. And you know, there are many today like that. There are many who will take a position of spiritual leadership, and yet they will not give the people spiritual leadership. They will say to the people just what they want to hear. And how sad it is. Now, I was just down walking past a local Church of England place near me. And what a sad sight to see there hanging in the window a rainbow flag. How shameful that in a place that ought to be the house of God, that ought to stand for the truth of God and to give leadership to the people, that a stable society, a blessed society, is one that is going to be based upon the foundation of godly marriage. A man and a woman for life together. That ensures security and stability for children to grow up in a blessed environment, and therefore a society at large to grow up. We ought to have leaders who will stand for these things, who will lead the people, who will bring them into the knowledge of God. And yet how shameful, how sad, that those who take positions of spiritual leadership are doing no such thing. And so we end up with the very same conclusion as Hosea had in his day. There is no knowledge of God in the land. The people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And just as that is true of that northern nation of Israel in the 750s, 740s BC, so it is true of any society. If there is no knowledge of God, that society will implode. It will destroy itself. Because the other ideologies, philosophies, and ideas that come from men, really their source is in Satan himself. The very antithesis of who God is and the blessings that God has for us. And all of these other philosophies and ideas, they will lead us into destruction. Well, we get a very, very sad statement at the end of verse 17. And the conclusion of this whole chapter is this: Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Let him alone. How sad. The Lord is, as it were, washing his hands of his people, and he's saying, I can do no more for them. Let them alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. They revel in this adulterous and idolatrous lifestyle. And what a shame. What a shame. Just let her alone. Now, we know, don't we, from the previous chapter, that this is not Israel being cut off forever. The Lord still wants and has a plan to bring them back, to restore them again, to redeem them back to himself. But it's not at this point in time. At this point in time, they are going to have to learn the hard way that the choices they have made have consequences. But there is a warning there as well to Judah, that southern neighbour, a neighbour that was following the path of Israel, but perhaps some way behind, had not yet got to the same level of iniquitous behaviour. They still had a remembrance of God. They still had godly kings like Uzziah and like Hezekiah in days to come, who would bring the people back to God. There were still godly priests who would speak the truth. But the word is to them, don't follow Israel. Don't follow Israel. Don't go to the places where Israel would bring you. Don't follow them. You see, there's always a great danger, isn't there? Particularly for the young, this pressure from a world around us to conform to their way of doing things. But the word of God would remind us, don't follow them. Don't offend in the same way. Stay true to the Lord. And we see at the very end, in verse 19 of the chapter, a little indication of this that is coming upon this northern nation of Israel. The wind hath bound her up in her wings. That wind is going to be that nation of Assyria, swooping in from the north and blowing everything out of its place. The people would be taken away in captivity. And it says, they shall be ashamed. They then shall be ashamed. Oh, let us not get to a point where we face the judgment of God and have to hang our heads in shame because of the life we have lived. Let us come to the Lord before that time. And that's for another chapter. We'll get to it as we get into tomorrow's reading at the end of chapter 5 into chapter 6. Again, this call to return to the Lord. But that's for tomorrow. Thanks for listening again today. We trust it's been a blessing to you. There's lessons to be learnt, and we look forward to seeing you again, hearing, having you with us again tomorrow. So thanks for listening.